This morning we have a special treat. We've invited three of the men of our parish who are fathers and or grandfathers to share with us some of their perspective on the gospel this morning as fathers and as, why don't you come on up, as fathers and grandfathers. And part of the reason that we did this is, well, A, you have Paula and I who really don't have any perspective on fatherhood. And B, I think that parents and those who are fathers and grandfathers really do have a proximity to children. And as the gospel says, that children receive the kingdom of God perhaps in a more pure, simple, direct way than us adults who mess it all up and get overly complicated. And so their proximity gives them the gift of knowledge and wisdom from their kids. So that's what we've invited them to share about today. So please welcome them into the pulpit.
Good morning. When I think about Father's, what Father's Day means, I think about putting my feet up on an easy chair and watching my favorite baseball team, the Yankees, on TV. But Sarah challenged me to think about Father's Day in a different way. She asked me to think about what my children and grandchildren have taught me about God and the kingdom of God. I had to go back to when I first became a father to formulate my response. And looking back helped me to realize that I was in the kingdom of God in both the good and the bad moments of being a father. Susan and I married at the tender age of 20, and a lot of our family and friends warned us that we were too young. We were oblivious to their warnings, and all we could think of was being together, having a family, having children, and starting a big family. We wanted at least 5 children for a basketball team. A year later, we had a son, and being a father quickly became the greatest thing in the world to me. I could throw him up in the air, he would smile, and everything was great. Was I experiencing the kingdom of God then? Even after 2 years of very little sleep, my feelings about fatherhood never wavered, and so we had our second child, also a son. He was cute and cuddly, and again, was this the kingdom of God? After another year of sleep deprivation, though, my mantra soon became, two is enough. But marriage is about compromising, and Susan wanted a chance for a girl. So by the time we were 27, we had our third child, a daughter. She was a joy from day one, sleeping through the night by the third week. Though she pushed her brother's buttons, she had no problem staying up with them. This must have been the kingdom of God. Today, Susan and I celebrate our 45th anniversary, along with my 45th Father's Day. And I'm reminded that my children have always been such a blessing. I've asked myself many times, why were we so lucky to have these 3 wonderful children that God gave us? It's not that they didn't present any challenges along the way. When our oldest was 7, Susan and I were at a pre-party before our 10th high school reunion, and we got a call from our babysitter saying that Rick had fallen off his bike and hurt his leg. I told Susan to go to the reunion without me and I would check on Rick and meet her soon. Turns out he had a spiral fracture of the femur, which involved a hospital stay and 6 weeks in traction. Later, during one of our bathroom remodels, Ben, who was then 11, tried to jump over the wire mesh that our contractor had left in a bucket in the hallway. Unfortunately, he didn't clear the wire and sliced his leg in the attempt. I scooped him up, and Susan and I rushed him to the doctor for stitches. When Jennifer was a little one of 2, she came down with spinal meningitis. Our world stopped for 2 weeks while she was in ICU. There were other challenging moments that I can't tell you about here, but you get the idea. All of these moments are frozen in my memory. Each time my children were hurt, I prayed to God for help, and somehow I found, or He gave me, the strength to get through them. The kingdom of God once again. Today, I am so proud of each of them for what they have accomplished, but more importantly, for the loving, caring people that they are. They taught me that being a father means thinking about others more than myself. Needing constant attention and guidance, they taught me to be unselfish and humble. Though I learned the real meaning through them, I learned the real meaning of love and compassion, which I think is the message that Jesus gave to his apostles. I learned to become more like a child by caring about my own, by accepting their innocence and thirst for knowledge in their new world. They all have families of their own now and have brought us 8 beautiful grandchildren to continue the growth of God's kingdom. Now I get to watch the new batch of little ones grow from a different perspective. I'm sleeping better now and enjoying grandfatherhood to the fullest. In all of them, I see something that we helped create, and I'm awestruck by how special they all are. Truly, we have been blessed with the love of our children and grandchildren, and with that love can better understand Luke's message of how our children will lead us into the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples, "Let the children in." He wanted them around him, maybe the way I want my grandchildren around me, climbing on me, roughhousing, playing ping pong, studying algebra together. And he told his apostles to be like the children if they wanted to enter the kingdom of God, like Maggie and Tommy asking me to tell them stories, Will showing me how to play Temple Run, Sydney doing run-up hugs, Emily beating me in poker, Abby flashing her beautiful smile at me, and Dylan still showing affection at 16. Jesus was telling the apostles to be like my grandkids in their capacity for joy and love, like listening to our 18-month-old Lily trying out new words for the first time with excitement, repeating them over and over again. Finally, I learned that God wants to embrace and protect us the way that I still want to embrace and protect my children and grandchildren. He wants us to let love guide us the way that my children do and still do. This is truly what I think Jesus' message is when he urges us to be like our children if we want to experience the kingdom of God. And happy Father's Day.
Good morning. When he learned that my wife and I were expecting our first child, an older colleague made a comment that I found rather puzzling at the time. He said, "Your children will teach you more than you can ever teach them." And I remember thinking, that sounds quite profound, and I have no idea what you're talking about. But now, after a bit of reflection over my brief 9-year parenting career, I can already see the imbalance of teaching and learning that he was referring to. I had forgotten about this comment until Mother Sarah asked me to think about what I have learned in becoming a father, which seemed like such a straightforward question at the time. First impressions can be deceiving this way. So after a couple of weeks of wrestling with this one, here goes. My children have taught me that the majority of the things that occupy my mind on any given day really aren't that important after all. It's only by shedding these distractions that I can find authenticity, peace, and happiness. I've learned that the older I get, the more discipline it requires to be like a child in this way. And this discipline becomes more important with each passing day. I've learned that the more important I think myself to be in the outside world, the less relevant I am to my children. They don't care how work is going, what opportunities may be out there, or how the rest of the world views me. They just want me to be home, to be present and available, to tuck them in, and to be there when they wake up. I've learned that one of the most spiritual places on earth is a child's bedroom when they're sleeping. For me, the agendas of the rest of the world remain outside that door, and I could almost drown in the purity of this little life and the love that springs from it. And this is what I think Jesus is talking about in his description of our need to be childlike. Life and love, simply. Without the distractions, the busyness, or the complexity that can weigh down our grown-up existence. I have found it is in this peaceful place, my most proximal location to God, that I can find refuge from life's storms. And here's why. Because here in this room, I too am simple, devoid of grown-up life's many agendas. I can wrap myself in the innocence and purity of a sleeping child. Here, social standing, job titles, expectation, complexity have no place. It is in these quiet moments I can hear God's whispers and his encouragement. It's through the authenticity of these moments with my children that I can see God most clearly. I know my children are not perfect, and I love them for this. I would do anything to protect them, to be with them, to give them hope for a happy life. It's difficult not to draw parallels between this love and God's love for us, his gift of free will, his desire for us to reach our potential, love one another and find happiness, his willingness to forgive, to pick us up when we fall, and to welcome us home when we've strayed from the path. I've learned that I can love my children even when I'm not happy with them. And most of all, I've learned that a smile from my child can feel like the warmth of God's forgiveness. Happy Father's Day.
Well, good morning, number three. So we all know that children are very curious, and especially my daughter, Sophia. She has an amazing connection with the world around her. She just sees everything. Everything is so interesting. She really basks in the glory of the moment, and she lives really by that famous quote, "Stop and smell the roses." She really does that. So consequently, because of that, sometimes she has trouble maybe working through a particular task and staying attentive to whatever chore or homework she might be doing. So sometimes I can get a little frustrated. And as her dad, I'm interested in things getting done, making progress, getting to the conclusion. So over time, I've come up with a little word that I say to her that has become our special word. And the word is focus. It sounds something like this. Sophia, focus. And, you know, I really do mean for her to focus and to keep going along. Over time, it's also become a little bit of an inside joke. Because now she kind of knows instinctively what I'm about to say to her. So I might say, "Now, Sophia, you know what I'm going to say, right?" And she'll roll her eyes and say, "Yes, Dad, focus." So in those cases, I'm a bit like the disciples in the passage from Luke. In this passage, the disciples are very focused. They want to get to Jerusalem. They have things to do. They want to make progress. They don't have time to worry about these seemingly less important things like the little children. And they also don't want Jesus to lose focus. And Jesus, as he often does, takes that time to provide a lesson. He wants to remind them to live in the moment. And so he reminds them that all people are important to God, including infants. In fact, he highlights little children as being special and some people to be emulated. So he says, "For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Wow. We'd better find out what those little people are up to. I'm also guessing the disciples feel pretty important. After all, they're hanging out with Jesus. They're his peeps. They're his entourage. They don't have time to deal with little children. So Jesus decides to address that. He tells them, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Sounds like a pretty harsh statement. It makes you pause. And I think this statement is crafted to deliver another message, which is a message of humility. And as a father, that is another gift I receive from the kids. Many wonderful opportunities and reminders to be humble. Some time ago, I was telling the kids what it was like to be a manager or a leader or a father. And I was explaining to them that you should assume that you're always being watched. People are watching you to find out what is acceptable, not acceptable, right and wrong. It's as if you were on stage all the time. And I told them, you know, you really ought to think of yourself as a role model. So now, if I do something wrong around the house, like spill something or drop something, I get to hear this lovely howl, "Mom, Dad is being a role model." It's the kids' way to remind me to be humble. So if you really stop and think about it, Jesus was right. Children seem to have a very good connection to the kingdom of God. And if you allow yourself to get down to their level and observe, they can teach you some important lessons. Like, don't take yourself too seriously. There's something greater than you and all of us at work. And don't get so wrapped up and focused on the destination that you forget to enjoy the wonderful journey. Happy Father's Day.